Welcome to Cellular Healing TV. This is episode 118. I'm your host, Meredith Dykstra. And of course, we have cellular healing specialist, Dr. Dan Pompa on the line. And today we welcome special guest, Catherine Garceau. So we're going to be talking about a really interesting topic today, and that is of emotional healing. And we're going to continue this. We've talked about it in some past shows, but we have kind of a unique spin on it today. Catherine is going to be sharing some of her expertise on EFT, or the Emotional Freedom Technique, and actually is going to be taking us through a routine to teach us how to implement this emotional healing strategy into our lives. So before we get the conversation started, let me tell you a little bit about Catherine. So Catherine Garceau is an Olympic bronze medalist and believes that health and happiness is achieved through physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual well-being, all activating one's highest potential and the body's ability to self-heal. In her book, Swimming Out of Water, Garceau shares her Olympic story, including her unconventional healing path from eating disorders, depression, and autoimmune conditions. Catherine brings intuition, experiential learnings, and a hybrid of best practices to those she works with. Trained in emotional freedom techniques, or EFT, or the tapping, Qigong, be activated, resistance stretching, and regression resolution, her combined passion and skills create rapid shifts in emotional wellness, mindset, health, and lifestyle. So as I said, Catherine's going to show us how the emotional freedom technique can strengthen our immune and detoxification systems to feel more empowered on our healing journey. So welcome, Catherine and Dr. Pompa.
Thank you.
You're welcome. We're so excited to have you. So, well, I'm just curious, before we get started, how did you get into EFT, emotional wellness? Can you share a little bit about your story?
Yes. To keep it short, I came out of a career in synchronized swimming, and I had eating disorders and depression in the way that it was like binge eating uncontrollably, and my immune system was pretty much very low, and I had been sick all throughout my childhood with bronchitis, pneumonia, all that stuff. And so when I retired, I had been put on Prozac at the time, and I had in me like, this isn't right. This doesn't feel right. It's not, I'm not getting all the information. So that's what kind of propelled me to study health and wellness more so that I could understand what was happening to me. And I did that. So I ended up befriending a great chiropractor that had all the books. So I was just starting to read about nutrition, about things that I had been eating that were obviously causing havoc in my system, including gluten and things I didn't know. And finally, years later, really, I had gotten better control around my food and looking at the psycho-emotional like loops that I had in my mind about perfectionism, about who am I now, what if I lose this athletic body. So a lot of things that were going out in the back. And one of my good friends, I found tapping. I think it was an online little tapping script on cravings for chocolate. And it was like, oh, I really need this because I was like a chocolate M&M girl. And so I remember doing it and doing the tapping, and it worked. Like, it felt calming when I did it, but I didn't really feel like it helped me get rid of my cravings. So I was like, well, this doesn't work. And I actually chucked it. I was like, EFT doesn't work. Years later, I was still investigating different tools and strategies to help feel better and heal, and one of my good and best friends that was also in the field and a nutritionist at actually addiction center said, I just did this certification, you need to check out EFT. I'm like, oh, I know EFT, I've done it before, it doesn't work. And he's like, well, it's because it's a very simple technique, so there's different ways that you can do it. You think you're doing it well, but to get down to an addiction kind of thing, there's specific guidelines that you have to follow to get down to the root cause of why you have this unresolved anxiety. Mm-hmm. And when he said that, I thought, oh, interesting. So, yeah, I don't know. It was like a month later, I was doing level one and two with the expert teacher in San Diego where I was living. And I was like, oh, my God, this is powerful work. So that's kind of my journey into EFT. At first, I was like, well, it's nice, but eh. And then when I started to understand more the subtleties, that are often not completely shared, which I'll share with you today, sure. that made me understand more of how to use it.
I have to admit, you know, when I first started, you know, hearing about it, trying it, I wasn't a believer. I wasn't. I'm a science guy, right? I'm very skeptical until something's proven, right? And I have to say, you know, what pulled me back in was testimonies from very, very sick clients who've done it, right? And mm-hmm. you know, they've tried everything, and they said, well, let me tell you what worked for that, and they talked about it. So, you know, it really got me back interested in it. And so now I am a believer. I think that a lot of people watching and listening to this may be where I was, right? So, you know, what's some of the science behind it, right? I mean, you know, what is some of the why it works? You know, I mean, maybe we should handle that after you explain more of what it is, right? I mean, because...
We'll try to give it an idea. So, emotional freedom techniques is in the field of what we now call, I guess, because there's more than... I think you've covered EMDR. It's in the field of energy psychology, meaning that it's a form of psychology, but we're also hitting in some form on the energetic system to basically unlock stored memory, negative charges or stagnation in the emotional system. The I guess if you think of the acupuncture system coming from the Chinese philosophy, there's meridians in the body, and the meridians are there's just these energy channels, if you want to call them, but they're really just a grid of all the energy systems that we have. Mm-hmm. And instead of putting needles, like in acupuncture, we're using our own points, our own fingers, to tap on these points gently. That helps to activate that actual energy flow. So in a way, it's interesting because one of the reasons why I decided to keep EFT in my toolkit as a coach is that I love the part of it that is self-empowering, meaning you can go back after one or two sessions of getting the nuances or whatever, even after this video, and actually tapping by yourself. You don't actually need someone else, which is empowering because then you have this new tool that you can do. All of a sudden you're anxious because someone just banged your car and you're like, oh, and it ruins your door. No, you can actually interrupt a high emotion right in the moment when you start to get more familiarized with this kind of technique. So we're hitting on these different points, which I can tell you right now. I'm going to just go through it. You don't have to follow through on anything, but this is the karate point. This is where we start the basic flow. Okay. We repeat a sentence 3 times while we do the karate point.
Does it matter?
Yeah, it doesn't matter what hand, whatever comes natural.
Okay.
You want to be sitting in a position maybe where you uncross your legs and you make sure your feet are nice and grounded on the floor. And then so we're tapping on the karate point, and we're going to be setting up the sentence and the flow with this point, which I'll explain after. Then top of the head, just gently, then inside of the eye, and then outside of the eye.
Does it matter which fingers you use?
No, it doesn't matter. A lot of people like these two, you know, the index and the, yeah. And then outside of the eye, yep. And then under the eye, yep. And then under the nose.
How many times are we tapping?
We kind of go, usually it's like 7, but you don't count. It just gradually, you just get used to a rhythm. But there's no real set rules. Sometimes we'll stay a little longer, and then we can do collarbone. Some people do the points like this.
I'm just thinking like a lot a lot of people are listening to us on the podcast, so we want to describe it as well.
Right. So I will start back. So we're going to start with the karate point is on the side of the hand.
Right.
And there will be a handout that they can just click and download.
The side of the hand where the little finger is, karate, I got it. Hi-ya.
Yeah. top of the head, right on top of the head.
Right on top.
Yeah, right on top in the middle. And then inside the eye, just on the inside of the eyebrow.
Yeah, okay. So right where your eyebrow kind of meets your nose. Okay, got it.
And it's I tap with some people only on audio, and they sometimes at the beginning they'll have a map of the printed points in front of them.
Right.
Outside of the eye. Yeah, and then under the eye, outside the eye, meaning at the end of the eyebrow.
Right, the end of the eyebrow.
Yeah. Under the eye is just like on the bone in the middle, right under the eye.
Yep.
Yeah, under the nose is just under the nose, basically on top of the lip.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then on the chin, right on the middle of the chin.
Got it, right under the lip. Yep. Yep.
Collarbone, you can go like 1 inch on the angle outside of the collarbone on one or two sides.
And you're actually on the collarbone or underneath it?
Underneath. But another way to do it, too, that a lot of people like is just basically tapping with your full hand on the thymus area. So you're just kind of tapping the top of your chest, and that hits it. And then under the arm, basically the bra strap just under the arm, right under the armpit.
Can mm-hmm. help our males out.
Men who don't wear bras, you can just picture yourself wearing a nice bra. and then we're not going to do that one. So then we go back to the karate point.
Okay.
So we start on one side and then do the other.
No, actually, you keep going. You don't have to do both sides at all. It's because it's kind of like hitting on the meridian. You don't need to activate both sides.
And then you just start on the karate point, finish on the karate point.
Yeah, or we'll go to the top of the head if we're doing more.
Oh, okay. Than you can do it multiple times, right?
Yeah.
Now, is there a thought process? Are you thinking?
Absolutely.
Like,
okay. Yeah, so that's the psychology part of it,
right.
Is that we're looking at an emotional charge, and we're actually giving it a rating. So, for example, maybe there's a frustration because you've been working on your health for a long time, and it feels like you get better, and then you get worse again. You get better, and you get worse again. And you try all these different protocols, and it's just getting frustrating. Like, what is it that I'm missing? Why am I always slightly sick or tired or fatigued? Or, you know, Dr. Pompa, what would you say one of the main maybe frustrations would be?
Yeah, I mean, there's one, right? It's like I just can't lose weight anymore, right? You know, weight loss resistance. Yeah, my energy, I'm doing all these things. My energy is still not well.
Okay. You know,
my brain fog, any of those.
Yeah. Okay, so if we go to the weight loss, because I've worked a lot with emotional eating and all that, sometimes we're even eating well, right? But our bodies are just at a plateau.
And by the way, that's an epidemic today.
Yeah.
We know that stressors play a role in. Physical, chemical, or emotional all play a role in the body's hormonal system, right? Their inability to lose weight despite what they eat, despite how much they exercise. So, again, this plays right into it.
Yeah, and we never know how much of that circumstance or that experience is having an emotional part of it, right? And that's why some people will tap and do a lot of like, whoa, I feel so different now. And there's a slightly, maybe there's, and we know that calories or food are not experienced in the same way if you're in a fight or flight state, sympathetic or in parasympathetic. You're going to digest, you're going to assimilate, you're going to feel really like, wow, I'm fulfilled, I don't even need a second serving, you know. But when we're in that state of like panic, which can be subtle, we're constantly sort of eating and we're not feeling satisfied.
Mm.
So that could be part of it, that we think we're eating fine, but we're actually always stressed. And so our cortisol is not allowing our bodies to release.
Yeah, I mean, people get stuck in that sympathetic mode, right? I mean, they're, you know, there they are, and they're always producing the cortisol, which is one way of interfering. But however, these stored emotions that this is addressing, our theory is this, or our belief is this, mm-hmm. is that we remove the interference. The body can heal just about anything, if not anything, right? I mean, but, you know, these emotions are like toxins. You know, we talk about true cellular detox. We have to get upstream, remove the toxin, but a lot of these emotions that, you know, from our childhood, things we may not even remember, are stored in our limbic system. This emotional memory is stored. That interferes and drives cellular inflammation. And with our interview with Bruce Lipton, I mean, he's the guru of, we know that our thoughts, even stored emotions, drive cellular inflammation. Therefore, that blunts our cells' ability to even hear from hormones. So this, you know, this is intriguing because this tapping, what you're saying is this is removing these stored emotions, right?
Yes, and it's so great that you said you called it the interference. So one of the metaphors I use when I present it, I think Gary Craig, the founder of EFT, brought it up, I believe, in one of the documentations where you have static in the screen of your TV, your movie screen, right? You've got static from all the little things that have come and created this, they call it a zzz. So it's like, then you have a little more static, a little more static. So all of a sudden your life, you think it's your normal life, but it's your normal life from the perspective of a lot of static from all the times that you were highly stressed in your 1 to 7, Bruce Lipton talks about the 1 to 7 period of time where you're fully imprinting. You're just like imprint. It's like that 95% subconscious, that's your 1 to 7. Well, guess what? A lot of times in your 1 to 7, we talk about trauma. There's
trauma ages 1 through 7 to age 7 is what you're doing.
And the 0 to 7, really. And when we talk about the small t, like small traumas, a lot of people, I realize, and I was culprit of that too, is like we think, oh, well, that wasn't a big deal.
Right.
People have it worse. That wasn't a big deal. But it was still, to that four-year-old child, it was a big deal that mom and dad were fighting, or that mom, you know, was always hating her body because she was overweight. Because, you know, so there's a lot of things that in that period of time where we're just basically a sponge, and it creates the 95% subconscious that we live our life from after, wow, there's a lot of points where we're adding static. And that's what the nuances I spoke about before, about the EFT and how it really works and how it could be calming but not so much creating big changes, is that we can tap on, oh, even though I'm frustrated that I'm still not losing weight, I love and accept myself now. We're tapping on something global, general, a general feeling of frustration. It can make us feel good in the moment, but it might not change the results of how we live our life the next day. But if we start to go, oh, when did I really feel that frustration? Or when was I really stressed all of a sudden when I was a kid? Because we're wanting that static to be neutralized.
Right.
So we're going back and we're doing an investigation of like, oh, okay, if we even just made it a list of the top 10, if you had mini YouTube videos, mini YouTubes in your life that were the most like fight or flight, like I better run, this is not safe, okay? You make that list and you tap on those very specifically. You ask what the charge is on a scale of 1 to 10, how intense would you rate that fear, that scare, that you name the emotion. Mm-hmm. So you're going to find a specific event that is directly related to the issue that we're experiencing now. Like, I can't seem to lose these extra pounds. I can't seem to maintain the body I want. I lose it and then I gain it back. I lose it and then I gain it back, okay? So then when's the first time you felt really frustrated? Like you thought you had it and then you didn't. Maybe you were given something and then your brother stole it. I mean, it can be so unrelated, but there's slight patterns of I don't deserve. I'm great and then I'm not. Or these little things, nuances that over time, you know. So what we do is, right, you make a list of these events. Then you want to maybe do an example?
Yeah, I'm making my list. I'm making my list right now, you know, and I know this being one of them. You know,
okay, why don't we do it with one of you? Think about maybe.
I'll do it.
Okay.
I don't want to step in front of Meredith.
We'll do a tapping that's more general after for everyone to do.
Okay. All right. Yep. Exactly.
In EFT, there's two things I want to mention. One, you might be thinking, oh, I have so many things that happened, I would be tapping my whole life. There's actually a generalization effect, meaning if you get enough of the specific events that are directly the same emotion, like that same frustration or that same, like, I'm not good enough feeling. Over time, if you do enough of them, of the main ones, oh, it's gone. Anyone that you think of, oh, I don't have the charge anymore. So yeah. There's a generalization effect that you don't have to do every single event of your life. Two right. is there's a concept called borrowing benefits, meaning that even if we're going to be tapping on your little thing, Dr. Pompa's issue or event, we actually can all tap together and benefit from it. Because even if we didn't experience that, we're helping the healing in that way, and it's activating in some way whatever's closest to it, and we get a release that way too. So it's kind of cool because you could always be gaining from tapping on other people's stuff.
That's awesome.
Like praying for other people too, in a way, right?
It is, in a way. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a Christian, you know, and when I tapped in the past, I bring God right into it, you know, because I know God's healed me, and I know that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and so you could be more, you know, with me, that's I like going there, right? Because
okay, perfect, yeah.
He is my higher power, you know what I mean? And I give him a credit for all things. You know, of the three that I immediately write down that I know, you know, I couldn't read until sixth grade. And, you know, unfortunately, I'm watching my son go through the same thing. You know, he feels dumb. Meanwhile, out of, you know, everyone in this house, I just told someone yesterday, my gosh, he's the smartest of all of us, right? It's so sad. His brain is so overpowered in one direction, but yet he can't read. But I have wounds from that, great wounds. I, you know, being made fun of, and then I compensated with other things, right? And you know, it's like, and you know, it's on my heart now just because I see it in my son. And then when I got sick, I still have major wounds from when I got sick, right? I mean, you know, I fear things, and I shouldn't. And then when we adopted two children. I mean, we were just taken to the bank over this thing, you know, from, you know, this horrific battle. So those are three big ones for me. We can just focus on the reading one. That's the earliest one that I can remember.
Yeah.
Maybe starting back that far, so.
Yeah, I was going to say, why don't we go with that, and that way you can even see how you can apply with your son, maybe. You know, you can have that ripple effect, and I'm sure parents listening and you have it for yourself or someone you're seeing, it's great because it applies in all the other ways. Yeah. How do you feel, what would be the main issue, or not the issue, do you think you overdo now, you overwork because of that? Is that kind of the result?
You know, like many people's wounds, it becomes part of their greatness in a sense, right? It's like, so, you know, when I figured it out later, then I overstudied, and then I developed a gift of memory to compensate for what I couldn't do. I had people read next to me, and I'd remember what they said, right? And so, you know, gifts now because of it. However, yeah, I do. I overcompensate, overstudy, do so many things.
And so is there an underlying feeling, like maybe very subtly there, that's just I'm not enough no matter what I do? What is it?
Yeah, I mean, I think that I can still get caught up in that, you know, like texting and emailing, and it's very difficult for me because I had dyslexia, you know. So it's like, and I constantly get very frustrated with myself that, you know, if I were only smarter here, if I could only spell, you know, then I could write better. And, you know, and it's like, so I am. I'm really hard on myself there. Instead of going, gosh, you know, I'm great at video, I'm great at this, you know, I mean, you know what I mean? But, yeah, I mean, I'm constantly going, you know, man, if I didn't have this, I would be better here.
Okay, so the frustration, I think, is the emotion that you're feeling the most. Yeah, that's great. There's other ones, but I think you just expressed that one. That's great. Now, think back at the time when you're little. If there's a specific day that you remember just being there, something was done, said, or you were just there alone and you couldn't read or write, or what's the specific moment you can remember? Even if you don't remember, by the way, for people listening and watching, if you can't remember it completely, it's okay. If you know that it was a generalized thing always happening, make up one.
Because I remember the time.
You have to say that's a possibility.
Yeah, they were going around the room, and it was the reading, you know, read this. And I can remember several of those situations where I knew it was going to come to me, right? And let me tell you something. I'm a little embarrassed even talking about this now, You know, I am. It's embarrassing. Yeah, it's like,
thank you for your openness and courage.
People come here for me to hear great knowledge and then hear, hearing that I'm a dunce. You know, it's a feeling, I guess. So, and anyways, hold on, sorry. I knew that would happen. Sorry. So, a guy's coming to wash my, get my dog, and they.
Of course.
Anyways, yeah. So, but when it, even now today, when people were coming like around the room, like let's say I had to read something aloud, I could do it, right? I get this anxiety, like because I'm still, I wouldn't say I'm a great out loud reader, right? I've learned to compensate and read because I read a lot. I do, I read a ton. However, if you told me to read something aloud, immediately my brain would freeze because I'm anchoring back to embarrassment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so I can tell you that in those memories of having to come around and not being able to read, you know, I mean, I would rather run out of the room and poop my pants, for goodness sakes, than just sit there and be able to not how to read. You know what I mean? It would be less embarrassing. So okay. There's the emotion.
Embarrassment. Okay, so the frustration is almost like on top of an embarrassment, which
total embarrassment. I mean, it is embarrassment, complete embarrassment. Yeah.
Okay, good. Okay, great. So if we go back to that moment right now, you're in that chair and they're coming around and you're feeling that feeling of embarrassment. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the worst embarrassment ever, 1, 0, nothing, where would you rate it?
I immediately, even today, would probably put a 7 or 8 on it. And back then, of course, it
That's
was...
That's what we want today, right now. Okay, good.
Like if I had the... If you said, Dr. Bamba, could you read me that? You know, there would be a 7 or 8 of anxiety.
Okay.
You know, open up Bruce Lipton's book and read the first paragraph, I'd be like, whoa, because it's like I know I'm going to be like, oh, you know, and I'm going to look dumb. Right?
Okay, great. Okay, so okay, great. And do you feel somewhere in your body, think back when you're the little boy in that chair, about how old, what grade?
I picture myself around fourth or fifth grade in that one experience. I probably around fifth grade.
Okay, great. All right, so fifth grade, any sensation in the body?
Oh, by the way, I just thought of another embarrassment. I had to go to the special classes, right, in like sixth grade, and that was terrible too. Yeah, but anyways, okay, go ahead.
So this is great that you're doing all this because for people listening, this is exactly what happens. When you tap into a main core emotion that you're actually still experiencing today, then you start to go, oh my God, and this happened, and this happened, and this happened. The trickiness and the gift in EFT is that it's simple. We can easily try to put it all into one package, or, again, we go one weed at a time. And this one in the chair came as a first one, so we're gonna stay specific on that, and it's good. You would take note, oh, the time I had to go to the special guy, you know? So, okay, anywhere in your body that you feel it?
Yeah.
Your chest, sort of. Yeah. Maybe not. You don't have to.
Okay. Yeah. When I get that anxiety, I feel it here and I feel it rise up.
Okay. Rise up. Okay. So we're going to go. I'm going to actually name the points for people listening. You can follow along as well. And what we do is I will say the sentence and Dr. Pompa and everyone else will repeat after me. If I say a word that's really close to what you want to say, but it's not completely what you want to say, say what you want to say, because we want it to be your words. I always say that because it doesn't have to be exactly. Okay, so even though I felt so embarrassed.
Should I say it to myself or?
You're going to repeat it out loud. Everyone can repeat it.
Even though that I was so embarrassed.
It was almost my turn and I knew I couldn't read.
It was almost my turn, and I knew I couldn't read.
Right here and right now.
Right here and right now.
I'm okay.
I'm okay.
Even though I felt so embarrassed.
Even though I felt so embarrassed.
I could just run out and go to the bathroom.
I could just run out and go to the bathroom.
Right here and right now.
Right here and right now.
I am okay.
I am okay.
Even though I had so much embarrassment.
Even though I had so much embarrassment.
It was in my chest and kind of coming up.
In my chest and coming up.
Right here and right now.
Right here and right now.
I am okay.
I am okay.
On top of the head, this was all in the karate point, so on top of the head, this embarrassment.
This embarrassment.
Inside of the eye, this embarrassment.
This embarrassment.
Outside of the eye, I can't read and it's my turn next.
I can't read and it's my turn next.
Under the eye, so embarrassed.
So embarrassed.
Under the nose, I feel so embarrassed.
I feel so embarrassed.
On the chin, I don't know if I could do it.
I don't know if I can do it.
On the collarbone points, I'm so embarrassed.
I'm so embarrassed.
Under the arm, feeling so embarrassed.
Feeling so embarrassed.
Karate point. All this embarrassment.
All this embarrassment.
Top of the head. All this embarrassment.
All this embarrassment.
Inside the eye. I don't think I can read.
I don't think I can read.
Outside the eye. This big, big embarrassment.
This big, huge embarrassment.
Under the eye. I felt in my chest and coming up to my head.
Felt in my chest and coming up to my head.
Under the nose. This deep embarrassment.
Deep embarrassment.
On the chin. So, so embarrassed.
So, so embarrassed.
So, so embarrassed.
Okay, take a deep breath in. And out. Now think back, you're the little boy and you're in the chair and it's close to your turn. On a scale of 1 to 10, where would you rate it now? A 2. Okay. What's the 2 about, you think? Is it still embarrassment? What's the part of it that's still kind of like, oh, but this?
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to, I don't know. Okay. I just immediately, when you said it, I put myself back there. And, you know, and again, is it less just because I am more relaxed now? I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know. Is it less because, you know, just talking about it? You know, when you first start talking about something, it's more embarrassing.
Okay. So if I were to ask you to read the first book, the first page of Bruce Lipton's page book now, what would you feel?
Yeah, I mean, I think less. But is it less just because I already told everyone it would be really hard for me? I don't know. I'm being honest. I'm trying to be really honest.
It's great. It's great. Okay. This is, okay, so I'm going to do a little bit of like more of intuition of what we've talked about. I wanted to show first how specific we want to stay on the very emotions. Notice we really just stayed basically saying this embarrassment the whole time. Uh-huh. That said, now because we're here and you're talking about Bruce Lipton and it's exciting because now we're like, well, maybe you can really read this book today with us. Whether it be on this video or just with Meredith after, you know, that you can feel a difference. And I'd love to know that, you know what I mean? So we're going to do a little bit of a, more of a...
I'm willing to embarrass myself, okay.
Yeah.
That's a good step. I you know, it's like, okay, I want to be really open. You know what, I really want to be open because I feel like it's going to help, you know.
I think so too. I mean, I expose my eating disorders and all that stuff in my book because I knew that a lot of people who think, oh, Olympic athletes have it all together, training and all that, we don't. And in my path since, I've weighed 200 pounds. I've really gone through a lot of that I expose because we're not perfect and we all have our stuff.
The only reason I know what I know is because I got sick, right? You know, my degree, my doctor, all that stuff, you know what I know because I got sick, just like you. Matter of fact, good opportunity to promote your book. What's your book?
Oh, it's called Swimming Out of Water.
Yeah, you said that in the beginning. Where do they get it? Amazon? What are they?
Yeah, Amazon, and I'll have it on my website and all that. Yeah. There's actually, I don't know if it's our, yeah, they're a new ebook, current version, so it'll be exciting. Okay, and what I want to do, though, is because there could be a lot more on the embarrassment of now like you said, there's other events. So what we do is like, oh, but what if I open up this can of worms and now I know there's more work to do. So what we do is like we kind of like do a sort of sneaking away tapping. That means that we're actually going to trust and know that it's actually, we can put it away for now and get back to it later. So it's a good way to know that you can actually do some tapping, open up some deep stuff, and close it and feel safe and actually productive in your day after. So it's like a good thing to do. And because of what you've just shared, I think it will be nice to do more of a round like that for you right now. Mm-hmm. So we're going to go on the karate point, and again, everyone can borrow benefits. Even though I've released some of this embarrassment.
Even though I've released some of this embarrassment.
It went from a 10 to a 2.
Went from a
7 to a 2. Yeah. But part of me thinks it's just because I'm calmer.
Part of me thinks it's just because I'm more calm.
Yeah. And there's a lot of other embarrassing stories. So I'm still kind of embarrassed about it all. I did some really good work already. Yeah. Even though I still have some embarrassment stories. And I don't know that I could just start reading Bruce Lipton's book.
Even though I don't know if I could just start reading his book right now.
Yeah. I'm open to the possibility. That I could actually one day just pick it up and have no embarrassment at all.
That I could just simply one day pick it up and read in front of my audience right here and have no embarrassment at all.
Yeah. So even though I still have this embarrassment. And I know there's a lot, maybe more work to do. I'm going to be accepting of the work I've already done. All this work on embarrassment. Feels like a theme I've lived my whole life. And still today, I think it would be there if I was asked to read. But the good thing is, I've done a lot of good things because of this embarrassment, too. I've learned to be courageous and strong. And I've welcomed God and prayer in my life. And I continue to be, proud that I can help other people.
I'm very proud that I can help other people.
Mm-hmm. So all this embarrassment. That I have more work to do on. I could even put it away for now. And I could feel more just peaceful in my body. And even just talking about it is a good thing.
And healing.
Yeah, it's not like the big elephant in the room anymore. Oh my gosh, now everyone knows. And it makes me human and humble. And I accept how I feel about all this. All this embarrassment. That I used to make wrong as a little boy. I know now it's okay. And I can just have fun with this embarrassment. I can just know it's one of my things. And it could be really exciting to, like, read out loud with no problems. With no anxiety in my chest. So for now, I'm going to put this embarrassment away. And just feel calm and present in my body. Okay, take a deep breath in.
So can you do positive affirmation as well. Like after you express the problem, then go around and say, hey, I believe that God is healing me in this problem.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. And then for me, I could take that and express it in even the sense of, look, I wouldn't be who I am and able to serve the mission I serve if it wasn't for that, because that is true in my brain too, you know?
Yeah, it is.
Even though that if I thought, oh my gosh, I have to read, and you know, oftentimes I get a new PowerPoint, I look at it and I go, I anchor back, right? It's like everything gets all jumbled up. It's like, you know, darn it. It's like, stop right here. I wouldn't be up on this stage in this show, you know, if I didn't start life the way I started it. You know? Yeah. And even my sickness, right? I mean, that's a negative anchor I said, but here I am today, right? It's like the kids we adopted and all the stress, it's like all of it has purpose. God has purpose in it. But we still anchor back to the negative emotion. That's what we can cast, you know, that's what we can release.
Yeah. You know, that it's like everything. There's a place for everything. And within the EFT world, there are a lot of contradictory sub-techniques of tapping. And funny enough, I just finished an advanced kind of training. And I love learning from different teachers for myself because I get to see, okay, here's what they think is the right way, and here's what – there's no wrong way of doing tapping. You will always feel kind of good in your body after. That said, the point of being specific and going back to the specific events is really key at getting immediate and lasting results. I say immediate as far as feeling good. It doesn't mean that your thing is over. But that said – a lot of people have fun with positive affirmation, positive reframes. Like I did choice statements. I choose to, instead of just I deeply and completely accept myself. In the first tapping, I said, right here, right now, I'm okay. Remember when we were doing this setup sentence at the karate point, the traditional setup sentence, and you can find it on every kind of, like, what's the sentence for EFT websites, it's out there for free, is, even though I feel blah, 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 or even though I feel this because of this, even though I have this emotion, you always start with the emotion because it's emotional freedom techniques. We start with the emotion. So even though I feel embarrassed that I have this thing with reading, okay, I deeply and completely love and accept myself. Now, that's a big statement to say when you're actually working on something that's potentially negative. That's my feeling, and a lot of practitioners and experts are talking about this. So a lot of people just simplify that. I deeply and completely accept myself. It feels more real.
Yeah, I like the real. Say that again.
I deeply and completely accept myself.
I like that better.
What?
I like that better.
Yeah, because love and accept, it's like, whoa, that's a big thing to say to your brain when it's actually talking about how embarrassed you're feeling. So that's kind of how I deeply and completely accept myself. In a place where you're kind of traumatized in that chair in school and you're like, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed. You're almost in a small T trauma, right? You're like in that, it's happening again. Well, right here, right now, I'm okay. It automatically drops you into the now, into safety, and your brain goes, oh yeah, I am okay. It's like another form of saying I'm enough, you know? So that's another one that I really like that I've recently learned that I feel is really powerful because it doesn't bring up – you don't want to bring up resistance in the brain where the brain goes, well, I don't really love myself, you know, because then you're just introducing kind of confusion, I feel. So I deeply and completely accept myself is a very easy, clean way to say – even though I have this emotion, I deeply and completely accept myself.
Yeah.
That three times in the setup. Even though I have this emotion, I deeply and completely accept myself. And a third time. Then when you start on the top of the head, you're just going to say the reminder phrase, which as starting EFT tappers, you really just have to repeat the emotion and keep feeling yourself in that chair. That embarrassment. Felt so embarrassed. That embarrassment in my chest. The embarrassment. The embarrassment, the embarrassment. It's good to ask, oh, where is it? Because even we forget that we are sort of physical bodies and the body electric or, you know, the biology of belief, everything is cellular and moving. And so if we have a sensation somewhere regarding that emotion, it's good to voice it and locate it. because we're just become again, we're becoming more specific. It's another way to do it. So, it's a question from you, from having experienced that and where you're at right now.
Say that again.
Any questions that come up just from having?
Just for my viewers and listeners and my own sake. So you know, once we we're tapping here on the karate point, and we we're telling ourselves that we deeply and completely accept ourselves, and then hey, and I'm okay. You know, but we always start with the emotional thing, right? We're starting with, gosh, yes, I was embarrassed because, or whatever emotion it is,
You can literally just say the emotion and think of the because. You don't necessarily have to say it.
So another emotion, maybe an emotion for someone who can't lose weight. That may be embarrassment. That may be frustration. That may
absolutely. Well, there was a lot of embarrassment, and I find women, including myself, like, if you were a chubby kid or you were a big person when you were little, you have a lot of embarrassing stories of like, oh, wishing you were smaller, bigger, or whatever. And so those are, again, in your 95% subconscious.
Yeah. It's remarkable that we're having this discussion today because my son, right, he was really skinny, he still is, right? And I was really skinny as a child, right? Which, again, another wound. I got to add it to my list. Gosh, this is cool. This is my most embarrassing show ever. So, anyways, and, but I watching now him. This is my other son. He just went on up to his mother about how embarrassed he is about being so skinny, and he gets made fun of, for it, for his size, etc. And I said, gosh, it's just the same as the overweight kid, and people don't understand the skinny kid. You know, it's like they go, like, they wouldn't think of that as the same. But being told you're fat and being told you're skinny, I'm telling you, it's the same
word.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was going to say, one of the things that we do when we go through the EFT training, and also, I will encourage it for some clients, is called the personal peace procedure. And what you do is you literally just sit there and make a list of anything you still feel shame about. Because shame is just not, talking about the power of emotions and cellular health, shame is just not a good energy you want in your body. Yeah. And who doesn't have shame stories, right? Yeah. So what you do is you make your shame list, and you pull out, a chart of, like, how to remember to do tapping, and we can have one on your website if it helps you. You can have, okay, one a day. Every morning you get up, and part of your little morning prayer, your exercise or whatever, you do 10 minutes on one of your shame events. And you chip away at your shame events, and all of a sudden you're like, wow, I feel kind of more confident, or I feel, like, really proud of my life. Or, you'll start to feel the benefits that will sneak in ways that you just feel more free to be yourself. Because what? Back to those screens. You have less static. You have more of a clear screen from which you see your life. So,
I just went through, my list here, and then I immediately started drawing arrows to, like, shame, embarrassment, the different emotions. So tying it to an emotion, tying it to an actual event, to be more specific, tying it to the feeling you get in your body, right? Mm-hmm. And then going through the points, we acknowledge the emotion, right? That's the first thing. The second thing is, we acknowledge that we're okay and that we still deeply and completely accept ourselves.
Yes.
And then we go around the points, still acknowledging the emotion. What did you call that? You called that reminding.
Reminder phrase, yeah.
The reminder phrase is pretty much just stating the emotion, right?
Absolutely. You just tune into the event and you tune into that moment, and you just tune in, and you keep saying, oh, that embarrassed, I was so embarrassed. Right. If, let's say, you do this whole thing, and let's say you said it's still at a 7, if anything, it's up at a 9 now, if you said that, which happens, because all of a sudden you're tuned in, and you feel it even more, but it could be then to say, what part of it really gets to you? And it could be that you remember the teacher's eyes. Like, you just have that detail. It's like, it's called an aspect of the event, meaning there's one detail that just, like, you'll always remember that guy's voice tone or whatever, because it was, like, it imprinted. And that's when you, even though I still have an embarrassment, I can feel the teacher looking at me. Like you say that aspect, you know what I mean? Oh, that embarrassment. Oh, those eyes, they were staring at me. I was so embarrassed. So it's adding aspect, and then usually the charge will go down.
Can you do two emotions at once? Can you do shame and embarrassment?
It's actually really recommended not to, again, for that scene. You get better results the more specific you are.
Mm.
But you can do another emotion.
Because it's like, but I feel this both, and I feel it's like they go together. Okay, great. Let's just do them in separate rounds because they are different. It's like if you're trying to, you know, like medicine, you can't do everything at once.
So separate rounds as they do it. Do a round for shame.
Yeah.
Do a separate round for embarrassment. Okay, that's good. Meredith, you probably have questions. Those are all, I think I got through all mine.
Awesome. Well, how often do you typically suggest doing the routine every day, multiple times a day, a few times a week for maintenance? How do you kind of suggest implementing it?
I think at first to just, you know, start using tapping, it's great to do it once a day just to, like, get a feel for it. It doesn't have to be very long. You know, 10, 15 minutes you could get. And, of course, if you get inspired and you're like, oh, I want to do this event too, just keep going. But it's nice. It depends, too, for sleep issues. It's nice to do it before bed. I actually have, and there's still up YouTube videos of, like, how you can tap and follow along on, you know, clearing your day or clearing whatever emotion. You can obviously do something specific. Something in your day really triggered you. Tap it out. Because why would you want to go to bed with that kind of looping in your mind and you feeling more anxious because of it?
So I just thought about that.
Before bed.
Before bed, according one of the things that Dr. Lipton taught us on the past interview is doing it right before bed, as you're that point of you're ready to fall asleep, you're getting really tired. Says that's like one of the only times you can match from ages 0 to 7. We're in that delta phase, right? It's like we're heading into that deep sleep, but right before you get there, you get into that very hypnotic state right before the deep sleep, right before you fall asleep. And he's like, that's that same wavelength that you're in to age 7, and we're duplicating that pattern of learning.
That's suggested doing the affirmations then.
Yeah. His suggestion was listening to different affirmations at that time.
Yeah.
Tapping at that time. I mean, my gosh, now we're bringing two shows together here.
Yeah. Well, and another thing too, if you're thinking about your kids, you don't necessarily have to do the full thing with little kids. I actually, for the first time, I am back in the, you know, several years ago, my niece had a meltdown at dinner, and she was like in at her room with anger, and I just, you know, my family wasn't really in the know of what I did, so it was kind of like, what are you doing? Mike, just let me go in the room. So I went, and she's like 3 and a half, and she's pouting and crying. And I said, do you want to just play a little game, okay? And I said, you know, Mommy still loves me. And I just started tapping on the points. You don't have to worry about the setup sentence. You just say, I'm so sad. Mommy and Grandma yelled at me. I'm so sad. I got yelled at. I was just in a bad mood, and I didn't want to eat. You know, I kind of go through what I saw happen at the table. And after, you know, this sadness, and then after a round, she's just looking at me like, what are you doing? And then I'm like, let's play a little more. So we play a little more. If you don't see a shift, you just keep going. And literally after the second round, I said, do you want to go back out? She says, yeah. She was like brand new, you know, little Sophia. And she went out, and 2 weeks later, I heard from her dad that he was like, what did Catherine do to Sophia? And I was like, well, what happened? He's like, she's been an angel for 2 weeks. So it's like, you never know that you don't have to. I'm saying this not only to show you that you can do it on kids with no worries. You just kind of go for it and tap on their points. If they're willing, just tell them it's a game. And you can't get it wrong, really. The worst thing that you'll do is you'll calm the field, really. And the best thing is, like, you'll solve a big case, but If you don't, it's okay. It's still a positive experience for the nervous system. Even if you get their words right, whatever, you can't get it wrong.
Actually, that brings up one of my questions. You know, what is some of the science behind it? You know, I asked that in the beginning as far as, like, why tapping? I mean, what if we went through this without even tapping anything? Why is the tapping make a significant, I think I know the answer, but I want my viewers
to. Yeah, so from my understanding, the way I like to explain it, some of the science that's been showing the results in the brain. So we are going, basically we're activating in our memory something that's generating a fight or flight response. So we're in the reptilian part of the brain by what we're talking about or what we're saying or voicing. As we're going through the points, and we don't know where the energy or the stuck emotion is. It could be in one meridian for one person, one place through the other. We don't know. There used to, well, there is still a technique called thought field therapy, TFT, that that is more specific. So it's a different algorithm of point for each case. What Gary Craig found was that if you just tap on all the points, at some point you're going to unlock wherever the emotion is stuck. So it's a little simpler than trying to figure out what algorithm to do to actually cater to the anger versus the fear, whatever. So all that to say that while we're tapping, it's gradually bringing the energy and the flow of the blood flow to the forebrain, meaning the healing and repair, creativity, openness to change, all that, to the forebrain. So we're kind of like superimposing a negative energy, negative memory, sorry, emotional charge, and that feeling in the reptilian part of the brain. And while the tapping, because we're doing this tapping at the same time, we're shifting the energy to the forebrain and the blood flows here. It's been shown that GABA goes up, serotonin goes up, endorphins are released, and cortisol reduces. So there's a lot of benefits in the brain that are happening in the tapping. Like, your reaction is very typical. Well, it's just because I've calmed myself down. Great. It might be. But I'm wondering if in a stress time tomorrow or whenever, next week, you think, how embarrassed am I of me in the chair? It could still be down at a 2. Because that very charge that was at a 7 is down to a 2. It just is. And if you do a couple more stories or little mini YouTubes that are related to that same embarrassment, you'll probably feel a generalization effect where you go back in that chair, oh, that chair event's at a 0 now. How interesting, right? Yeah. And it's just because you're starting to play around with those neural nets that all got, well, you know, what fires together, wires together. Yeah. So they're all like that, and now we're, yeah, ooh, we're stretching, we're creating new ones, and we're, and it, so memories are just changed.
It really is about making more neural pathways, and that energy stimulation obviously is making it happen much faster, and yeah, you know, it's interesting. Now, what conditions have you seen, like, dramatic changes from? Like, I'm thinking about my multi-chemical sensitivity people. I know they get help from, and then we said in the beginning, like, how would it improve detox or your immune system? What would you do for that? How
does that? I think going back to the you can tap on the now, of course, because that always makes your body feel, you know, even though I have low energy, I'm going to accept myself right now, even though I have this low energy. You can do moment-to-moment things, like how you're feeling in the moment. Like, if you decide to do that every morning, like, great, I woke up tired again, even though I feel tired, you know. It's in-the-moment stuff. Again, the gem of tapping is to go back. Why is this happening, right? So for sick stuff, and I put it, I think, in the notes, it's like, were you really sick as a child often? Maybe. If you were, how did you feel? What was the emotion did you feel when you're always sick? There's some positive things, like secondary gains. Sometimes we don't realize that we get sick because we need out of a situation in our life that we're not willing to admit. Mm. Our bodies get sick. Right? We're not willing to admit that really this relationship is not right. This, you know, this environment is completely not right. And what our body goes in chronic fatigue, our body goes in shutdown, our body gains weight because we want to keep men away. Because there's an abuse thing that's not been handled from, you know, 12 years old. So that's the thing. It's like there usually is always a related emotion in the past that can go, you know, it's not fun to go there sometimes, but if we get really honest with ourselves, that's really where the true healing, I think, happens.
Yeah.
For me, like, you know, and I haven't been a binge-free person since I found EFT, since even, right? I still have my, oh, goodness, what was this one about? You know, I'll overeat and I'll feel, you know, horrible, but it's not the same way. It doesn't mean anything about my worth. It's just like, oh, that red flag, there's something I still need to go back and see. Or it's a part of my trauma capsule that's got released all of a sudden that I need to look at. It doesn't scare me. It doesn't stop my life like it used to. Or it doesn't make me super sick like it used to, too. So it's just a matter of, like, seeing how you end up. I said it earlier in a session with someone. You become, like, an emotional gymnast. You become more able to, like, oh, these are just my emotions. And I don't have to pack them all into I'm stressed and overwhelmed. I can see that there is this and this and this. And you start to understand your emotional landscape. And it over time, it doesn't scare you as much. It just becomes like, oh, it's just another realm in which I can play.
Can you do this? Like, let's say you have a fear in a moment, right? I have people out there because I was one of them, and I would sniff a chemical and I would have fear because I know it would make me react a certain way when I was sick. Can you start tapping and say, you know, I know I have fear right now of that chemical, but, and then say, but I'm healed.
Yeah. I mean, okay. Yeah. Should we do a tapping for everyone that has those sensitivities?
Yeah. Like, go ahead. We'll finish with that as an example. Okay. You know, and
more of a general tapping again. Yeah. You can go back to your specific stuff, but this will be a more general tapping for that. So even though I feel sensitive, and I know this toxin is bad for me, and this is stressing me out.
Yeah.
Right here and right now. I'm also okay.
Even though I have these sensitivities.
And I know this toxin is not good for me. I also know that I'm very resilient. Even though I have these sensitivities. And I'm afraid this toxin is going to hurt me. I choose to stay strong in my body right now. These sensitivities. Inside the eye. Feeling very sensitive. Outside the eye. This toxin. Under the eye, I don't like to expose myself. Under the nose, I don't want to get sick again. On the chin, I have to be careful. On the collarbone, these sensitivities. Under the arm, feeling this vulnerability. Karate point. The sensitive feeling. Top of the head. I also know I'm going to be okay. Inside the eye. I walk out in a sea of toxins all the time. Outside the eye. And I'm actually getting stronger and healthier every day. Under the eye. And even my brain and nervous system. Can register that I'm already strong. Under the nose. I can register that I don't even have to be this sensitive. On the chin. I can be resilient. I've been resilient my whole life. Collarbone. So this toxin? It's like nothing compared to who I am. Under the arm.
And who God made me.
Yeah. God made me strong. God made me very resilient. Top of the head. So I'm going to be strong right now. Inside the eye. In fact, I don't even have to effort in being strong.
In fact, I don't even have to give effort to being strong.
Outside the eye, I could just be who I am. Under the eye. Calm in my body. Under the nose. Not even affected by this toxin.
Not even affected by this toxin.
On the chin. It's like I didn't even register it was here.
Like I didn't register it was here.
Collarbone. Feeling calmer about it right now.
Feeling calmer about it right now.
Okay, take a deep breath.
I'll tell you what, I guarantee you there's thousands of people that got a lot of benefit from that right there, because we have thousands that watch this show that are so sensitive, you know, and I get the emails and speak to so many of them. So that's going to help so many people.
Well, I'm happy what I could do is make sure that I not include a little mini guide of just the simple tapping.
Yep.
But I'll write out this, even if it's not the exact same words, I think, because obviously I was on the go right now, but I could really think about a tapping that would be good for general sensitivities.
Well, what we'll do is that'll be great, and Meredith will put that in an article. So it'll be the heart of the article, Meredith, for people, mm-hmm. right? And that way, because with the video, when we release this, we'd
yeah.
like to release an article on some of the shows that we know are really helpful and instructive. So that will really just set up a little article. So also for Meredith, you can give a little bit of history of it, just a little bit of basic information and how.
Oh yeah, I can even send some of the best research studies you can
yep.
add there. Yeah.
Absolutely. So and you know, you and like I said, we could just you know, put your name on there as part of the authoring of it. So just write that up and we'll put that article out with this episode.
Thank you. Yeah.
Definitely will. And thank you so much, Catherine. This is just such a neat tool to bring in, because I know so many of us, we eat the right things and, you know, we exercise. We do all of these different things and sometimes we're just not getting results. And this emotional component to healing is just, it cannot be overstated how important it is. Mm-hmm. And I want to thank you, Dr. Pompa, too, for being so vulnerable and sharing so much about your traumas and your personal history, because I think a lot of times, as you know, being in the health industry, health practitioners, we're put on a pedestal that, you know, we have perfect health, but that's not true. We still struggle and we're real. And I just want to appreciate you, Dr. Pompa, for really sharing that, because I know that was personal.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. And Catherine, thank you. You brought me there. So if I have to be vulnerable for the people watching this, you know, then it sure is worth it, because...
Well, I've kind of like, and maybe that's the competitive part of me, but I'm like, now I'm like, I really want you to get to that point of reading that Bruce Lipton book.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. If we had time on the show, I would do it. So, you know, we could bring Catherine back and we could do another show. And I'll make both of you a promise and my viewers, I will do it. Okay, and I'm not going to memorize the paragraph.
I'll definitely offer you some between the episode Skype session, so we can see what else is there that might be preventing you from it.
You know what? And I'm willing to potentially be embarrassed. I'm willing for that to happen. And maybe not, right? Maybe it'll just flow, right? So, I'm able to read it now, right? Of course, but it's when you go, yeah. So it's like, you guys pick the paragraph, so you know Dr. Pompa didn't prepare. So if I do nail it without embarrassment, I'm going to feel how I feel. So that'll be fun, and I'm willing to do that experiment.
That is awesome.
Awesome. Part two. Well, thanks again, Catherine. This was a wonderful show. I know we got a lot of value of it, and hey, another tool in our toolbox for healing. So thank you, Catherine. Thank you, Dr. Pompa. Thanks, everyone, for watching, and we'll catch you next time.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you.
The information shared on today's show can be accessed through our websites, drpompa.com and revelationhealth.com. This Cellular Healing TV episode and past shows are also available for download on iTunes. Help others get real health solutions by liking, reviewing, and sharing our podcasts.